very much. Luke chapter 16 this morning, Luke chapter number 16. I had another message prepared and ready to go. And about 10:10 this morning, the Lord redirected my thoughts. And I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I want to preach what He wants me to preach when He wants me to preach it. And this morning, I want to ask you to do something. And that is, I don't want you to think about anybody but yourself. There are two types of people listening to me, those who are born again and those who are not. If you are truly born again and a child of God, this message should be a great motivation for you to be a better soul winner. But if you are not born again, this message should be a great motivation for you to trust Christ today. And this is what this whole service is about. And let me encourage you to ask God to keep it still. Ask the Lord to remove all distractions. And ask the Lord to help you to be focused. Lord, speak to me. Show me what you want me to know. Speak to my heart. May all of us ask the Lord to do that. Today's the day of salvation, the Bible says. Now's the accepted time. And I want the Lord to have free reign, free course. So let's pray and ask God to touch us. Our Father, we love you and thank you for this day. And I do pray that, Lord, you'll keep distractions down and keep them out. I pray for this time, Lord God, that you'll take full control. May you arrest this service with your presence. May you grip our hearts with the truth of this doctrine of a place called hell. Help us to understand, Lord, that this is not some figment of our imagination. Help us to see what you have said in your word. And help us, Lord, those who are lost, help them to see themselves on their way to this place. And we who are saved, help us to see the importance of getting the gospel to as many people as possible with the time that we have left. I need you today. Please, help me to say everything that pleases you, not one thing that displeases you. Help me to say the right thing and the right way. And may nothing be a hindrance to the blessed Holy Spirit. Forgive my sins. Help me to be clean. In Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. Luke 16, verse 19. How's the sound? Is it okay? Am I a little loud? Am I too loud? And so on. Everything sounds fine? Everything's good? If I start blowing your eardrums out, it's your fault because I'm getting thumbs up everywhere, all right? Appreciate the sound folks today. Luke 16, 19. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. And may I remind you that what I'm about to read to you has been misinterpreted. Some people try to make this into spiritual terminology. Try to say that this is just one of the Lord's parables. In other words, this story didn't literally happen. It's just a made-up story that he brought out. Let me remind you that is not true. Because the parables, he never mentioned individual names individually. He never called specific people by name in a parable. In other words, he mentions names like Lazarus, a certain rich man. He mentions Abraham in this story. He mentions Moses in this story. And we know that these are literal folks that literally lived, which means that this story is a literal event that took place, which means the rich man who died and went to hell is burning under my feet as I speak this morning. Makes no difference what you believe about that. It's what the Bible clearly teaches. And I want to read this to you. The Bible says in Luke 16, 19, Jesus said, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, a literal person, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Now he's talking about the Bible. Moses is the first five books of the Bible. Because Moses was the human penman, so he's saying they have the Pentateuch, the opening five books of the Old Testament and the prophets. In other words, he's saying they have the Bible, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, in other words, if they don't listen to the Bible, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Today I want to preach to you on a message that I have entitled, it's not original with me, but I'm adopting this, a message entitled, Rotten Boards Over Hell. Rotten Boards Over Hell. Now may I remind you that this title will all make sense about halfway through the message, okay? In the New Testament books, 27 of them, do you realize that 234 times God warns us that there's a place called hell? Hell is the prison house of the damned. It's God's insane asylum. You know, hell's a place that nobody likes to talk about it. Nobody likes to hear about it, and some people don't even like to think about it. And a matter of fact, some of you are very unhappy, maybe, that I'm preaching on it this morning. But you know, we need messages today that preach the truths of God's holy word. And if you're going to be faithful to the word of God, you must preach on this place called hell. Hell is not a dream, it's a reality. And it's interesting when you think about the Lord Jesus Christ and his preaching. It's interesting when you study his literal words. I'm talking about when he was walking upon earth in a human body. Did you realize that he spoke more about hell than he did about heaven? He preached more on hell than he did about the reality of heaven. You know, we have false doctrines and false denominations who try to deny the fact of hell. But listen to me, friends. I'm trying not to come across arrogant or anything like that. I hope you'll pray for me because God knows my heart. But may I tell you that if somebody denies the place called hell, that does not change the temperature there one degree. Not one degree. Somebody might say, I don't believe in hell. And I tenderly say, if you die without Christ, someday you will. I'm telling you this morning that somebody says, I don't believe there's a little place called hell. They are calling the Son of God a liar. And they're calling the Holy Spirit of God a liar. May I say this morning that may God open our eyes to this place called hell. I want to be a servant to you today. I really do. And I want to serve you one of the best ways I know how, and that is I want to serve you by telling you the truth. You know, I wouldn't give you 5 cents for a man or a woman who would not look you in the face and tell you the truth. And I'm looking you in the face, eyeball to eyeball, if you will. I'm speaking in general terms, not that I'm going to look at everybody's eyeballs today. But generally speaking, I'm looking you in the face, and I'm trying to be honest with you and tell you that if you do not know Christ as your Savior, you will go to this place called hell. But if you do know Him as your Savior, you ought to rejoice at this place. I'm going to do my best, if you will, with the Lord's help to explain to you a little bit this morning. May we rejoice that we've been delivered from this place. But may we get a burden to go out and shake our community with the gospel of Christ. There's two simple thoughts I want to give you this morning. The title of the message comes out in point number two. Number one, though, let's notice the place itself. The place called hell. Hell is a real place. Like I've already said, he preached more on hell than he did heaven. And out of this text right here, we notice several things that summarize this place. Number one under this, it's a place of consciousness. We see this in verses 23 and 24. Notice, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and cried, and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. This tells me he could see in hell. Hey, right here. It tells me he could feel things going on in hell. This man was not in some comatose state. No, he was in a place of consciousness. This means that he could smell the burning flesh. He could hear the sounds of agony and pain. And he could feel the sensation of fire engulfing his body. Why else would he say, I'm in torments here. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Here's what he's saying here. Just send Lazarus. I don't want a cup. I don't want a drink. I'm in so much pain here. Just have him dip his finger in the water and just touch it to my tongue. I'm tormented in this place. It's a place of consciousness. Secondly, it's a place of torment. Verses 23, 24, and 28 illustrate this. He even said in verse number 28, "For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." You know, if I had a lighter with me, which I don't, but if I did this morning, I had a lighter with me in my pocket. And I brought it out and I lit it, and right here's the flame burning. And I asked you, I said, could I get a volunteer to have somebody come up here and stick your finger right in the base of that fire, right in the middle of it, and hold it for 60 seconds? There might be some big shot say, oh, I could handle that. Mm-hmm. I think we all know what our answer would be. In other words, hold it right there. 1,001, 1,002, 1,003. All the way to 60. Not anybody in their right mind would do something like that. I dare say that maybe not even a person here would gamble with a fire like that for 60 seconds. But what's 60 seconds compared to eternity? People don't gamble with literal fire that they see, but there are millions and billions of people gambling with eternal fire that they haven't seen yet. It's a place of torment. Number three, it's a place of outer darkness. Matthew 8:12 puts it this way, "But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness." You say, I've got you there, preacher. You're saying hell's a place of fire, but yet it's a place of darkness? Yes, that's what the Bible teaches. You say, how's that possible? Scientifically proven fact that the hottest flames on the sun burn black. I don't know what all that means, but if God says hell is a place of fire, yet hell is a place of darkness, then I believe God more than I believe any human being. And all I know is that hell's a place that you don't want to go. Matter of fact, you say, how bad is it? It's so bad that it wasn't created for you. It's so bad that the Word of God teaches that it was created for the devil himself. Let me ask you a question. How hot do you think hell's going to be on Satan? It's the same place that every non-believer is going. It's a place of outer darkness. Number four, it's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. We see this in Matthew 8:12 says, "There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Talking about this place called hell. There's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let me ask you a question. Why does people gnash their teeth? Grind their teeth, if you will. Now, there may be many reasons, but I know two specific reasons why people, their teeth chatter or grind together. First of all, is pain. There's a man who's involved in a motorcycle accident. This has been many years ago. And in this motorcycle accident, they say, my memory serves me correctly, this was not in the area, that he was wheeled into the emergency room and he had burns or something on his body. And the doctor or nurse tells a story that when they were rolling this man in, what they could see about him is that he was in so much pain that he was grinding his teeth back and forth. Just chattering his teeth, grinding his teeth. We know that people gnash their teeth because of pain, but we also know that they gnash their teeth because of fear. If you ever get extremely scared, extremely fearful, if you're not careful, you'll catch yourself grinding your teeth together. You say, Jody, what are you trying to do, scare me? If that's what it takes. Because I'm telling you this morning, I'm preaching on this place, and then I'm going to make an announcement to you. You don't have to go. You don't have to go here, friends. It's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let me give you something else here. It's a place of memory. We see this in verse number 25 of our text, Luke 16. Notice it. But Abraham said, son, remember. Remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil, but now he's comforted and thou art tormented. You know one of the worst things about hell, in my opinion? Not the worst. I'll tell you the worst in just a moment. But one of the worst things is that you don't lose your memory. You know what that means? That means if you're in this service this morning and you do not know Jesus as your Savior and you're too proud to get it right and you leave this service, if you die that way, you will remember this sermon for all eternity. You'll remember every opportunity you had to get right with God. And you can only wish and wish and plead and cry, but at that moment, it'll be too late. It's a place of memory. Two more and I'm done with this. I know what you're saying. It's getting hot in here. Move on. Number seven, or number six, whatever it is, I'm losing count. It's a place of eternal separation. We see this in Luke chapter 13, verse 28, in context talking about hell. It says, "There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out." Even the rich man here, he saw Abraham afar off, but he couldn't make it there. There is a great gulf fixed, the Bible says, right here in our text. He said, "There's a great gulf fixed so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they come to us that would come from there." In other words, there's a great separation. May I tell you that in hell, that there will be no Christians there. Those who are truly born again will never, ever enter the place called hell. Never. Which means if you're lost but your mate is saved, they will go to heaven, you will go to hell, eternally separated forever. Vice versa, if you're saved, your mate is lost, you will go to heaven, they will go to hell, separated forever. But you know, it's not just separation from other Christians or Christians, it's separation from God Himself. You know, it's interesting to me here that hell is what we call a God-forsaken place. What's that mean? You know, God is everywhere. The Bible teaches that. He's omnipresent. In other words, He's here, but He's also over in Pakistan right now. I mean, He's everywhere. He's God. He's everywhere. But there's one place He is not. And that is, He's not in hell. It is a God-forsaken place. You'll be eternally separated from God. May I say this to you? That's the worst thing about hell. The worst thing about hell is not the fire. It's not the burning flesh. It's not the pain. It's not the lack of water. The worst thing about hell is that you'll be eternally separated from the God who loved you so much that He sent His Son to die in your place. One final thing about the place, and we're moving on, is it's a place of no hope or no release. The Bible calls it in Matthew 25, 46, everlasting punishment. The Bible calls it in Hebrews 6, 2, eternal judgment. Let me ask you a question. According to the Bible, how long will hell last? As long as heaven. As long as God is alive, hell is going to be burning. Which means that those who die without Christ will burn in hell, which will be cast in the lake of fire altogether. They will burn there forever. And ever, and ever, and ever, and ever. I didn't say it. It's what the Bible teaches. Souls will be engulfed in hell as long as Christians will be enjoying the splendors of heaven. Reminded of a story. I've given this story here before and it's been verified. I may have a few of the details wrong. But anyway, you'll get the basic gist of the story here. This happened many, many years ago, and this has been verified. It was either in Bluntville or Bluff City. I can't remember how many years it's been. Probably maybe even close to 20. I don't know. Time goes by so quickly. They tell a story about a man who was involved in a truck wreck in our area. Again, Bluntville, Bluff City. I can't remember which one of the two. And they say that when this man was involved in his truck wreck, that the truck had flipped up over on its top or somehow had pinned this man inside the vehicle, to the point to where he couldn't get out. He wasn't hurt. He wasn't injured. He was just pinned inside the vehicle. And they were trying to talk to him, you know, keep him alert, I guess, just to make sure that he didn't go off to unconsciousness and so on. So they were talking to him while they were waiting for a vehicle to come and apparently cut him out of the vehicle. But the story goes that while they were waiting for the vehicle to come, that his truck caught on fire. And this man, whoever he was, and somebody happens to know this story, and I get a few details off. You can fill me in later, but anyway, it doesn't affect what I'm trying to get across here. They say his truck caught on fire, and the truck began to burn. The story that I was told is that the flames were so intense that they had to step back away because the flames were melting the metal off the truck. This man was pinned inside. We don't even like to even think about that. They say the fire got closer and closer to this man until finally his clothes on the inside caught on fire. And this man began to burn alive. And they say that he looked out and saw a police officer with a gun on his side as his skin was burning. And they say they could hear him screaming from within, "Shoot me! Shoot me! I can't stand this! Please!" And they say that the gentleman who told this story, tears running down his face, says that man's scream turned to a whimper, then to a moan, and then silence. You know, that man suffered for a few moments. Was pleading for somebody to kill him. But what's a few minutes compared to eternity? Curtis Hudson was telling a story. Curtis Hudson's a preacher that he's with Jesus now. He died of cancer several years ago, I think in 1995, I think. Might have been 97. It was a story, or he told a story because he's with Jesus now, about how when he was a boy, they lived in the Atlanta, Georgia area. And his mother was listening to the radio, and all of a sudden they started hearing horrific noises coming over the radio, people screaming and all that. And he told the story. He said, as a boy, he said, "I thought the world was ending." And he said, as a little boy, I ran into the kitchen and said, "Is it the end of the world, Mama? Is it the end of the world?" And he said, his mother looked at him and said, "No, honey," he said, "it's not the end of the world." She said, "The Wyckoff Hotel is on fire in downtown Atlanta. And they're broadcasting it live over the radio." He said there were people jumping out of the 10th and 11th floor story buildings, and some of their bodies were landing in power wires and being electrocuted. Some of their bodies wouldn't hit anything until it hit the pavement, and horrific scenes. He said some of them were landing in trees, and excuse me now, I'm not trying to be crude, but limbs were going straight through their bodies. And he said he could hear, as a little boy, coming over the sound of the radio, somebody screaming, "This is hell! This is hell!" Then Curtis Hudson said, "That's not hell, because there's no windows in hell." See, people were jumping to escape then, but they'll never jump and escape out of hell. You say, "Jody, what are you doing?" I'm trying to be a servant to you. That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to give it to you straight and tell you, don't believe what some human being says. This is what God says. M.F. Rich said this, and he was an atheist. Who's an atheist? Somebody who doesn't believe in God, at least they say they don't, until it comes time to die. And when it came time for this man to die, he was a professing atheist. "I don't believe in God." But when he lay dying, here's what he said, and I quote, here's what he said, "I would rather lie on a stove and broil for 1,000,000 years than go into eternity with the eternal horrors that hang over my soul. I have given my immortality for gold, and its weight sinks me into an endless, hopeless, helpless hell." Who said that? A professing atheist. That's the place. Now, secondly, let me show you the problem. You say, what is it? What's the name of the message? Rotten Boards Over Hell. Where'd you get that? I read a book. There was a preacher by the name of Rod Bell. Some of you may know him or know of him. He told a story that when he was a kid, he had a daddy that he got him and his brothers. So his daddy is talking to him and his brothers, and he warned him and his brothers about a well on the backside of the barn. And he said, "Now, boys, don't go near that well." Because, see, that well had an open mouth. And he said this, "Whatever you do, don't walk over those boards." Because, see, he knew that well dropped for many, many feet. But he knew that those boards were laying over that well. And he said, "Now, boys, now listen, don't go near the mouth of that well. And whatever you do, don't get on the boards. Because if you do, they're liable to crumble and we'll never find you. We'll never get you out." Well, one day, just like good boys do, who's been told otherwise, they went by that old well, And they remembered, I guess, what their daddy told them, so not one of them wanted to chance it. So they picked up a rock and they threw it on those boards covering the mouth of that well. And the weight of that rock completely crushed those boards. And they learned at that moment that those boards were rotten. And if they'd have stepped on it and disobeyed their daddy, the rotten boards would have sent them to their doom. Now today, what I'm doing is I'm just like that old dad who's yelling from the top of his lungs. Aren't you glad I'm not? Amen. But who's yelling from the top of his lungs and telling everybody, there's a place out there. Stay away from it. Don't get near it. And whatever you do, don't trust the boards that are over the mouth of it, because those boards, whether you think so or not, they're rotten boards. And if you trust them, they're going to send you to their doom. You know, we have multitudes today who are just casually playing around the mouth of that hole. Some are walking around those rotten boards, and some of them are even skipping up and down on them. But if they don't get off, they're going to realize that those boards were never sturdy. And those boards will send them to hell. Now, I want to give you some of the spiritual rotten boards that people trust today. And I'm going to tell you, these are boards that will crumble underneath and it'll never get you to heaven. Number one is the rotten board of religion. Let me say this to you. We are a Baptist church without apology. But I'm not trying to give you religion today. I'm trying to introduce you to the Redeemer. His name is Jesus Christ. There are thousands of people, listen to me, I'm not trying to get you to doubt. God knows my heart. But there are thousands of people in all kinds of churches who warm a church pew but will never make it to heaven because they trust in their religion to get them there. In Pakistan, early this morning, which would have been early this morning for them, which was late last night, if you will, for us, there were two Muslim extremist bombers, suicide bombers, who strapped bombs to their body. This just happened this morning. And as a group walked out of a church service, they detonated themselves. And the number I saw before I came up here in the pulpit, 75 people went out to meet God. Now I want to ask you a question. How in this world could anybody in their right mind take a bomb and strap it on themselves and blow themselves up? Let me tell you why they do that. Religion. They are taught from a child up that if they die a martyr's death, and that to them is a martyr's death. In other words, if they blow themselves up and take out other Christians along the way, that God's going to reward them with paradise. That's what happened on 9/11. It's not a physical battle. This is a spiritual battle is what it is. They believe that they can go to heaven by blowing themselves up. But do you realize that's no different than somebody believing they can go to heaven because they've been dunked in a baptistry as well? You realize that's no different than somebody believing just because their name's on the church roll that it must be on heaven's roll? That's no different than somebody thinking, well, I'm doing the best I can and God's going to weigh my good works against my bad works. One bad work is enough to send you to hell, sir, because you must be perfect to go to heaven, and there's only one that's perfect. His name is Jesus Christ. Religion will send you to hell. Matthew 7, 21 and 22, Jesus said this, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall go to heaven. I'm paraphrasing. Not everyone. In other words, just because you say He's Lord, that doesn't mean you're in His family. Have you trusted Him as your Savior? Have you confessed your sin to Him? Have you believed the gospel and asked Jesus Christ and Christ alone to come into your heart to forgive your sin? Has it ever happened in your life? I'm not asking, have you done that and done that? Or have you done that and? It's no and to anything. It is Christ and Christ alone. If you ever get to heaven, it'll not be because of what you did. It'll be because of what He did on Calvary. Religion is a rotten board. Number two, neglect is a rotten board. You know what that means? That means putting it off. Putting it off. Acts 24:25 says, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time, and when I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. He's talking to Paul. As far as we know, the convenient season never came in Felix's life. You know why some people never trust Christ? Because they have more time to do it. Not going to do it today. I know this is something I need to do, but I'll do it later. Neglect is a rotten board. Let me give you a third one. Pride. Let me tell you why some people never trust Christ. Because they think, what will he think? Or what will she think? Or what will they think? Or what will he do? Or what will she do? Or what will my dog think? Or what will this cat think? Hey, what am I saying to you? Listen to me. When you really see hell for what it is, honestly, you won't care what anybody thinks about you. The only thing you're going to know is, I don't want to go to a place like that. Pride. You're among friends. Don't be so proud to walk out of this church service and say, I know I should have went forward. But. If you walk out of here saying, I know I should have went forward, but you're guilty of pride. It's a rotten board. Let me give you another one. Excuses. You ever heard this? Well, I see how those Christians act. They're all hypocrites. Can I say this to you? Everybody, in some form or fashion, is a hypocrite. You ever done anything and you've not done it? You ever said you'll do something and you didn't do it? You ever lied? Hypocrite. Listen to me. Don't make excuses. Just say, God, thank you for speaking to my heart today. No more excuses here. I want to go to heaven. Will you forgive me and take me? You know what he'll do? He'll forgive you and take you someday. Let me give you another rotten board. How about death? Just two more here. Two more. Death is a rotten board. What's this mean? Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto men once to die. Aren't you glad you came to this church today to hear you're going to die? And you know, I know this is not popular. I understand that. But I'm trying to help somebody. You don't know when your life is going to end. I don't either. The moment you started living was the exact moment you started dying. Are you listening to me? We're not evolving, we're devolving, if that's even a word. There's not one thing in the process of evolution. We're not getting better, we're getting worse. What am I saying to you? I'm saying this, when will your time come? When are you going to breathe your last? Death is a rotten board. There was a man in Indiana, he was invited to a meeting similar to this. Maybe it was a revival meeting or whatever. This is a true story. You know, preachers should get in the habit of telling true stories, you know what I mean? I'm trying to tell true stories today. This man was invited to a church service in Indiana. Just some friends or something invited this man. He didn't want anything to do with salvation. He didn't want anything to do with God. And just for being invited to go to church, this man cursed these people and said, I don't need your blankety-blank church. I don't need your blankety-blank God. And just cursed these people for just inviting him to attend church with them. That man was called into work early one morning, not long after that. And he was broadsided. A car hit him on the side and shot him out of his windshield. And his own vehicle ran over his skull and crushed him to death. You say, why are you telling me that? Can that happen to me? Absolutely, that can happen to you. Will it? I don't know. Do you? Do you? You don't know what's going to happen. There were two teenagers. They were sitting in a church service, A boy and a girl. I don't know if it was a boyfriend, a girlfriend, or a brother and sister, but anyway, they were sitting in a church service. They were poking fun. They were making fun of the preacher. People still do that today, you know. This church makes fun of me for my shortness, but anyway, that's all in fun gesture. But these kids weren't playing. They were literally making fun, laughing, mocking, ridiculing the preacher. While he's preaching, the young man grabbed a church hymnal, you know, something like this, just a church songbook, and he took a pen and wrote something down in it. Gave it to the girl. I mean, he's preaching. This is during the church service. He gave it to the girl. She wrote something down. They slammed it down like this, slammed it down, went out the back. 15 minutes later, they were dead. Car crash right down the street. When those two young people died, they were interested to go back and find the church hymnal and find out what they wrote, so they did. They found that church hymnal and they thumbed through it until they found their handwriting. Here's what the boy had written. I will take my chances. And the girl had written, me too. And they took their chances. Excuse me. But God had had enough. And he said, no more. You said no for the last time. Ray was in a coma for days. He didn't move. He didn't speak. He was a non-believer. He's laying in his bed when his wife had told this story. When all of a sudden they say he sat straight up. Now he's been in a coma and he sat straight up and grabbed his bed and was staring down at his feet like he could see something. And what he was saying is, no, I won't go. I'm not going to go. No, no, no. And they say he collapsed back into his bed and he died. I don't know what he saw. Can I say this to you? I never will know what he saw. Because I'm a born-again child of God on my way to heaven. Are you? The last rotten board is the rotten board of the Spirit's last call. You say, what's that mean? That means this. Genesis 6:3, God said, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. You ever heard somebody say this? I'll get saved later. I'll do it when I'm ready. I. Are you listening to me? If the Holy Spirit doesn't speak to you, no, you won't. Now, we know the Holy Spirit draws all men to himself. At the cross of Calvary, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. We know the Holy Spirit is drawing the world to the foot of the cross. But may I say this to you? If you feel a tug in your heart, well, I don't know where I'd go if I die. Well, I want to go to heaven, I don't know. I don't want to go to hell. If you feel a tug in your heart, it is dangerous to say no to that. Because God may never speak to you again. Now, folks, listen to me. I'm right there. I have there and there to go. You're about to make it, okay? Going back to the illustration of these brothers and their father who told them to stay away and how they had thrown that rock and it had demolished those boards. Those boards looked sturdy, but just the weight of that rock demolished them. And the weight of an eternal soul would demolish these boards that I've spoken about, and there are others. And someday if you don't get off and you don't trust Christ, someday we're going to come by the mouth of that well and we'll never find you. We'll never get you out. Matter of fact, when they went back by early one morning, apparently because there was dew on it, they saw the silver cords of a spider web that a spider had woven over the mouth of that well. And there were three autumn leaves that had fallen and were landed on that spider web. And the weight of just those leaves were just kind of bending that spider web. Can you see it there? They went on to school, but they came back the next day. And the next day, the leaves were gone and the spider web had snapped and just dangling like this. If you'll let me paint an illustration, those leaves are like lost souls. They're bending. They're bending the grace and mercy of God. God's being gracious to them because He's given them another day of life to say yes. But if you stay on there too long, there's going to come a day when it snaps. A preacher was telling a story that they were driving down the road. There's a hitchhiking story. I don't know if it was him or somebody else he told this story about, but this hitchhiker got into a vehicle and he noticed a sign on the side of the road. It said, "Hail, Nevada, 87 miles. The hitchhiker looked at the driver and said, "We're going to hell, Nevada?" He said, "Yes, we're going to hell, Nevada." He said he got a little bit closer and it said, "Hail, Nevada, 52 miles. Hail, Nevada, 33 miles. Hail, Nevada, 12 miles, 3 miles. And eventually it said, "You're now entering the city limits of Hail, Nevada." I want to ask you a question. Boy, you've listened well. I appreciate it. How close are you to hell today? Are you 87 miles? Let me put it this way. Are you 87 months? 87 weeks? 87 days? 87 hours? 87 minutes? 87 seconds. How close are you? D.L. Moody said this, and we're starting to come to a close. Here's what D.L. Moody said. He said, "If there's no hell, let us burn our Bibles. Why spend so much time studying the Bible? If I believe there was no hell, you would not find me going from town to town, spending day and night preaching and proclaiming the gospel and urging men to escape the damnation of hell. I would take things easy." That's what D.L. Moody said. Now this morning, I've asked God to arrest this service, and I believe He's answered that prayer. It's so quiet in here. Unless it's somewhere I can't hear, it's so quiet in here you can almost hear a pin drop. And as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm just simply telling you, there is a real burning place that awaits every unbeliever. If that's you today, did you realize that before you leave, you'll not be going to hell? You can be going to heaven. But the decision is up to you. Will you stay on those rotten boards of pride and neglect and religion and say, "I'll take my chances"? Or will you get off this morning and say, "I'm trusting Christ and Christ alone"? If you make that decision, it changed your life for all eternity. I'm going to heaven. Will you go with me? Every head bowed, please. Every eye closed. I'm going to ask nobody leave. Absolutely nobody leave unless it is of the utmost importance, please. If there's an emergency, I understand that. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I appreciate how you've listened so well. May I say this to you? I've learned this. I don't know your heart. I cannot look at you and say, "He's saved, she's saved, she's going to heaven, he's going to heaven." I can't do that. I don't know. But you know, I'm not the one who's calling the shots anyway. God is. And the Lord already knows. They begin to play through softly. Let me ask you a question here. Please don't condemn yourself. Please don't condemn yourself. In other words, you can lie to me, but you cannot lie to God. I'm not going to draw attention to you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I would not come to your seat. I wouldn't do that for anything in this world. And have you say, Jody, I know I'm saved. I know I'm a believer. I know I'm born again. I don't hope I'm going to heaven. I'm not trusting my religion. I'm not trusting my baptism. I'm not trusting my church membership. I'm not trusting turning over a new leaf. I'm not trusting my good life. There has been a time in my life when I know without a doubt that I was convicted of my sin, that the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and by faith I accepted Christ and Christ alone. You know without a doubt that heaven is your home. You know it. You don't think so. You know so. If you know that without a doubt, would you raise your hand, please? Now, if you don't know that, please don't raise your hand. Please. God bless you. You can put it down. Have you say, Jody, I'm being honest today. I could not raise my hand to that question. And if I died just like I am concerned that I would not go to heaven. Now, this could be that you're just doubting. I don't know. I'm not preaching to get you to doubt today. But if today you say, Jody, I could not raise my hand, but I have a desire to. In other words, the next time somebody asks that question, are you 100% sure? I want to be able to answer that with a yes. I cannot raise my hand to that, but I want to be able to. I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise you that. And let me say this to you. If you know you're going to hell, don't sit there in pride and say, what is everybody going to think? Hey, everybody who's right with God is going to rejoice with you and say, we're so glad that you're trusting Christ. Have you say, Jody, pray for me. I need to get this right. I don't want to go to hell. I don't know if I am or not, but I don't want to. Would you pray for me? I'd like to know Christ as my Savior. Is there one like that? Would you raise your hand in the air, please? Put it up, put it. God bless you. God bless you and you and you and you. God bless you. God bless you. Somebody else, you can put your hands right back down. God bless you. You can put your hands right back down. If you raised your hand to that question, God bless you. You can put your hand right back down. I'm not going to come to your seat and I'm not going to embarrass you. But if you raised your hand to that question, that's a number of you. Glory. If that's a number of you, if you raise your hand to that right now, right now, please, would you lift your eyes and look at me just a moment? Would you do that? You said, I raised my hand a moment. I want you to lift your eyes and look right here at me. And I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise you. I just want to talk to you just for a moment. Just want to talk to you. I want to explain to you what we're doing. In just a moment, we're having what we call an invitation. You know what that means? Exactly what it sounds like. We're inviting you to do something. And what we're going to do is this. We've got altar workers all over this auditorium. Altar workers, I want you to be prepared. Matter of fact, I want you to go ahead and move to your place if you'll do that. Altar workers, please, if you'll move to your place. I need most of you up front. I want some of you to go to the back, please, if you wouldn't mind to do that. A lady, a man, if you'll go to the back. We have Brother Steve there. Steve and his wife is there. Brother Wade is there. We've got these altar workers here. You see them moving. Let me tell you what they're moving for. They're moving to help you with this. Now, in just a moment, we're going to pray, and I'm going to invite you to Jesus Christ. And what we're going to do is we're going to ask you, if you're in the back, go to the back. If you're up front, come to the front. We'll have a man with a man, lady with a lady, a couple with a couple. We have couples ready. And what they're going to do is take a Bible and help you that before you leave today, you know you're going to heaven. Now, I'm pointing to you, but it's just me and you. Wouldn't you like to know that today? Wouldn't it be great? Amen? Yes. Wouldn't you like to know that today? Wouldn't you like to get that settled today? Absolutely. 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 Don't let the devil keep you in your seat. You're among friends. You're among people that were just like you. We didn't know that we were saved someday, but we made a profession of faith, asked God to save us, and He saved our soul. Now we're inviting you to do the same. You understand what we're doing? That's all we're doing. All we're doing. You mean business? Do you mean business? Do you mean business about this? Do you? Do you really mean business? Do you? You want to get this settled? Amen? Amen? Right now. Right now. Would you get out of your seat? Some of you in the back, right there they are. Right there they are. Right there they are. Let's help them. Let's help them, please. Let's meet them right here. Let's help them, please. God, help them right here. I know there's a spiritual battle. I understand all of that. I see it. I understand it. God, help you to do the right thing. the good Lord help you to do the right thing. God help you. God help you to do the right thing. You say, this is what I need, this is what I need. Hey, I wouldn't put it off any longer. I'd put it off no longer. No longer. You say, Jody, I need this. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Altar workers, Christians, I hope you're praying. I hope you're praying. Ask God to help people to move. May the Lord help us. May God help us. Jody, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer. God's speaking to me about sharing my faith. This place called hell has motivated me, to be a better soul winner. Maybe say, Jody, God's speaking to me in that way. Would you raise your hand and be honest? Be an honest person. Just a moment, we're going to have an invitation where we invite people to come forward. There may be more lost people here that need to come forward. And if you just raised your hand, I want to invite you to come forward. That might help them come. You understand what I'm saying? Let's all stand together just a little while here. Father, we love you. Bless. Bless those who are being dealt with. Speak to their heart. Make it right. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. They're playing through softly. If God is speaking to your heart as a Christian to be a better soul winner, leave your place. Would you do it now? As Brother Gary sings, you come. Would you do that? As he sings, you come now, please. Come now, please. Would you do that? You believers who raise your hand saying, God spoke it, leave your place, come. That may help others to come. That may help others come. This is what it's about. Appreciate you being patient with us here. Time for you, please.
Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark plot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
Some that we're dealing with, some of them have been taken out of the service. If you're still standing, you can look this way. I hope you're praying for those that's been taken out the back. There are several of them. You know the gospel still works, friends. It really does. Hell is hot, but heaven is sweet. And God has made the way where we don't have to go to that eternal place. Who in the right mind would say no to a deal like that? Who in the right mind? You say, Jody, is hell bad? Terrible. But as bad as hell is, oh, what must heaven be like? You looking forward to going? Let's try to get as many to go with us as we can. Good to see Brother Danny Jenkins. Had a heart attack last week and in the service today. God bless you, sir. Amen. We're getting some folks today getting a heart transplant, if you know what I mean. Spiritually speaking. We're so glad you're here. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Yes. It's been good. Stephanie Williams, if you'll stand, your husband can stand with you there. Stephanie, the Lord has spoken to your heart, correct? And today, today you are trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. I mean, you got it today, right? We're so thrilled about that. God bless you. This precious family here, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it all started with the little Davis girl. Yes, invited your girl to Cadets for Christ. And now they're coming as a family, and now she's trusting Christ as her Savior. You happy for her? Say a big amen. Isn't that great? Praise the Lord. Amen. Melissa Morrison, if you'll stand. You have trusted Christ, but today you're getting assurance of your salvation, correct? That is a wonderful decision. I'll tell you why. As long as you doubt your own decision, you're not going to make that much of a difference in somebody else's. So now you know that you've trusted Christ. Amen? Amen. Who knows? You might have just got saved today. We don't know. But we're glad you got it settled. And you know you're going to heaven. Wonderful. Praise the Lord for it. Amen. We're so glad you're here. I want to ask you to join the Williams over here if you don't mind. Our folks will come by and greet you. That'll be a great thing. Yes, this is Rachel Pickle. And yes, she was saved a couple of weeks ago. God bless her. And she wants to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. We're having a baptismal service next Sunday morning. Amen. We're so glad you're here. And we'll take care of all this next week, okay? That'd be good. Amen. 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 Let me remind you that there are folks being dealt with as we leave. Let me go ahead and dismiss all the servers, please. If you are serving, if you'll be dismissed to go to the gymnasium. If you all are visiting with us and you are staying to eat, would you raise your hand? You're staying to eat with us. If you'll raise your hand up in the air, please. Along with those that invited you, would all of you raise your hand just a moment? Okay, all of you raise your hand, downstairs and up. We've got plenty of food, all right? What I want to ask you to do, you can go and get to the gymnasium one of two ways. You can go out in the parking lot and straight across to the metal building. There's a side entrance. Or you can go down this long hallway and where it says exit to the right, you can go down and that'll take you right into the gymnasium. I'll be over there shortly. And what we're going to do is we're going to pray. We're going to dismiss. And I'm going to dismiss everybody eating with us first, okay? All of our guests, all the government officials who are here, I'm going to dismiss you all first in just a moment, and so on. And all of you eating with us. Let me remind the bus riders, if you rode the bus today, you are going to the chapel, okay? Going to the chapel, all right? I'm making sure I've got all these things here. Let me remind all the parents, whether they're in nursery, preschool, wherever you dropped your child off when you came, as soon as we dismiss, if you will go immediately there to get your child, even if you're staying to eat with us, please go get your children first and then make it over to the gymnasium. Please go get your children for that, okay? And let me remind you, the meal is for all guests today and those who brought them. All guests and those who brought them, okay? Let's pray together, give God the glory. There are folks being dealt with down the hallway somewhere, so keep that in mind. Let's pray, and then we'll dismiss those eating first. Father, bless now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're a guest, please take your card. All of our government officials, you and your wives, if you'll make your way over to the gymnasium, Brother Brad, if you will lead them to the gym for me, please. If you don't mind to do that, Brother Brad is coming to meet you, precious folks here. If you'll follow him, he's right here in the suit. Everybody eating with us, please go to the gymnasium. Get your children first, okay? Children first, and then make it to the gymnasium, please.